Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call the State Affairs Committee meeting to order. With us today, we have Representative Dahl, Representative Grunberg, Representative Johnson, myself, Chair Bob Lynn. And as a matter of information, as I understand it, the Public Safety Committee will not be able to get the overview today because in the spirit of public safety, they're not going to take off in bad weather. And the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee, they're also not here because of bad weather. We may be moving the legislature down to Sitka or to Ketchikan rather than someplace else, so we'll see. Because some people may have to leave early, we still have a quorum here, I would like to...
I won't leave while we...
Oh, you will not leave?
I mean, while we need people, absolutely.
Well, in that case, then, let me reverse things. I'd like to bring up HB 109 at this time. John, are you going to talk for us here? As a matter of introduction, I want to thank Governor Palin and her entire team for bringing HB 109 to our committee and the legislation of our committee in such a timely manner. And I've looked it over. It seems to be a very, very workable document. And I said at our hearing we had on Tuesday, when we heard HB 10 and HB 20 and held those bills, we're looking for a good vehicle that we can use to put all the various ethics bills out there in one good bill. And I believe the governor's bill is just the one to do that, and I'm very pleased about it. Yesterday, I sent a letter to Governor Palin that detailed the intentions of the State Affairs Committee, how we're going to handle these various ethics bills, and that we have, in fact, appointed a subcommittee being chaired by Representative John Coghill with members Bob Roses and Representative Grunberg and others to participate as they would like. And I think they'll be doing a great job in helping us out. Briefly, today we're hearing HB 109 basically to lay it on the table so we, for the benefit of the subcommittee. And there'll be no testimony or debate on the bill today, but I can assure everybody that there'll be plenty of opportunity for extended public testimony and debate when the time comes. So with that, welcome, Dr. Petty. Please identify yourself.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the House State Affairs Committee. My name is John Bitney, and I work as the legislative director for the Office of the Governor here. And I'd just like to start off, Mr. Chairman, by expressing appreciation to you and to the members of the committee for taking this bill up so quickly. I know that this is an issue that has received a lot of public attention, and I think that you should be commended, Mr. Chairman, for your approach to this issue in terms of taking it up not only quickly but also in such a bipartisan manner in terms of trying to bring together consensus within the legislature and trying to find ways to include the public and other interested officials as well in the process. I don't really intend to go into the details of the bill. I'm hoping that Mr. Dave Jones from the Department of Law is either online to help me if the committee would like to do that at this time. I think we're prepared and are able to do so if you wish. And
is Mr. Jones online?
Well, if he's not, Mr. Chairman, certainly...
Basically, if you just give us the high points.
Absolutely.
Without getting into detail.
Absolutely. The intention here was to both fulfill some campaign promises that Governor Palin made out here on the campaign trail last fall in terms of addressing issues that have come up in the public's eye on ethical areas in government that should be addressed in the law. I'll just kind of just hit them and just in brief, if that's okay. Number one is filing political campaign reports electronically. This is sort of an issue in terms of transparency and the ability to try to get information out to the public a little bit easier rather than the current system of sort of paper handling within the Alaska Public Offices Commission.
As I recall, Mr. Bitney, it was a couple of years ago we tried to do just that, and for some reason it never made it through.
There's been some difficulty in trying to get this through in terms of whether or not, Mr. Chairman, folks would have ready access to be able to do so. In today's electronic age, the feeling is that we should be able to do so. there is a provision in the language within the bill that if there are some sort of extraordinary or exceptional circumstances, that the commission can certainly determine that someone is not able to do so if that's necessary. But the idea is to try to make this a little more efficient and a little bit easier for the public to get the information. We're asking for a little bit more detail in terms of financial disclosure. In terms of if candidates or public officials get more than $1,000 for any work or the gifts that they receive, that they must disclose the source of the income. And in terms of professional service contracts, there must be some description of the amount of work and the number of hours that have been done, as well as a description of the work that is being performed. There is a requirement for disclosure of financial and business interests within 90 days after an official leaves office. This is viewed as sort of a shortcoming in the current law for someone who leaves office but then is not required to provide any information for that last period of time that they were in office. And again, this applies to both elected officials as well as administrative officials. There is a measure that helps clear up ambiguities in terms of when public officials have a conflict of interest. Those who work for the executive branch would have standards defining when the value of their stock or an ownership interest in a business is significant. We're trying to set this at a specific dollar amount of $5,000. There is no provision in the bill that deals with percentages. I know that this has been addressed in some other pieces of legislation a little bit differently, but we feel that the $5,000 is a little bit cleaner, a little bit more of a bright line. When we take this to subcommittee or perhaps before the full committee, there may be some other discussion about that, and we're certainly open to listening to that. But this is just the way that we felt was the best way to approach it, and we'll certainly work with the committee as we go forward. There is a ban on gifts from lobbyists to public officials. This is a very stringent provision. It's a top, from top to bottom prohibition. I would point out that it is written as a presumption, that it presumes that if a gift is received from a lobbyist, that is intended to be given in order to influence, which would mean if a lobbyist is an immediate family member or a neighbor or something where a gift is given for Christmas or something like that, where it is not meant to influence, that there could be a disclosure or a report made to an ethics supervisor to sort of point it out, to make a finding that it was not meant to influence. The bill tightens restrictions that apply right now in terms of who can become a lobbyist after they leave service. And I'm going to have to look at the language here to make sure that I get this right. I'm looking at both sections 10 and 11 in the bill. Section 10 gets into whether or not someone can go to work for compensation after they leave service, and who they would have a conflict in terms of who they go to work for. There is currently in the state law an exclusion or exemption that says that it is not a significant matter that would create a conflict if the items that the person worked on while they were in public service included consideration of matters of legislative bills, resolutions, or regulations. We're removing that exemption, or exception, I think is a better way to say that. And it's just a little bit, it tightens that up a little bit more. As well as on section 11, there is inclusion in the current law that would prohibit certain officials from going into lobbying for up to 1 year after service of additional positions within state government. Those would be essentially deputy commissioners or employees of the governor who are in a policymaking position. Basically, that'd be somebody like myself. Again, both of these sections right here are items that the governor feels are a better way of going at things in terms of creating more confidence in the public that while someone is in office, that they are looking out for the best interests of the state and the citizens of Alaska at all times, all the way up until their last day at work, whenever that may be.
What a remarkable concept.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Johansson.
Are we going to wait for questions, or should we wrap up? I wasn't here for the beginning.
I think today I'd like to hold the questions because we're just putting this bill on the table today so it can be available for the subcommittee to work with. And I'm sure we'd be going through this bill as well as some of the other bills, you know, line by line by line. The idea today, just lay it on the table so when the subcommittee comes back, convenes, it can be available, and then we won't be delayed when you start trying to put this into the governor's bill as a vehicle. The idea is to push this forward, you know, as fast as we can, but do a good job while we're at it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that. I would just conclude by just pointing out that the only thing I had to add was is that there is an effective date of July 1, 2007, for the electronic filing provisions, which is intended to give the Alaska Public Offices Commission a little bit of time to move their implementation of that into fiscal year 08, such that they could they won't get sort of caught with the immediate effective date that applies to the rest of the bill. And that, Mr. Chairman, concludes.
I want to thank you very much. And I guess we could take just a quick question.
Well, actually, it's just a comment if it's going to subcommittee.
Well fine.
And certainly the governor's office would probably take that into account. We talked about Section 11, people from the executive branch leaving and going into quote-unquote lobbying. A real concern that I have, or a problem, or some gray area that makes me feel very uncomfortable, is the difference between lobbying and consulting. It seems like there's a very gray area there, and I've heard other folks who leave the executive branch say, I'm not a lobbyist, I'm a consultant, when in fact some of the information that they provide is only gathered because of their work in the executive branch. So that's something that I hope the subcommittee will look at, and it does concern me very much. Thank you.
I agree. Any other comments along that line this time? If not, I'd like to thank you very much. I think I mentioned earlier that I did give present a letter to the governor that outlined the procedure we're going to try to follow here. Again, I'd like to thank you and the governor and the entire team for bringing this bill before us, and we're looking forward to working together as a team.
Absolutely.
To put this together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I'd like to call Representative Gutenberg forward. This bill concerns Student Butcher Day. This is another good bill. I never got the opportunity to meet Susan Butcher, and that's been a big regret to me. I did see her one time, and I had family on a tour on the Riverboat Discovery up in Fairbanks, and saw the demonstration she did along the banks, I think, of the Chena River. But I really regret that I didn't get a chance to meet her when I had the opportunity. So, Representative Gutenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a simple thing bringing House Bill 37 before you. It is obviously just the one little paragraph in front of you. Fortunately, all the work has been done, and that is the accomplishments of the life of Susan Butcher. More people have walked on the moon than have won the Iditarod four times. Just the level of accomplishment.
Would you repeat that, please? I like that.
More people have walked on the moon than have won the Iditarod four times.
That's a quote for somebody.
Yeah. Your comment about her life is very pertinent to this issue. I've met her a few times, but I did not know her well. I met her husband, but at her memorial, the level of accomplishment of the woman was illustrated by those who came to talk on her behalf. And the two people I refer to would be George Lucas and Bill and Melinda Gates. And they talked about her not as somebody who they kind of knew, but they talked about her as, Mr. Lucas talked about her as a sister, as actually a member of her family and somebody very near and dear to him. And the Gates met Susan Butcher when a friend bought an excursion with her dog team for them for their wedding for their wedding gift. And they talked about flying out to Manly, and Susan was 8.5 months pregnant. And she didn't take them out on the dogs, David did, David Monson, her husband, and they stayed in, imagine the Gates stay in a little log cabin with a wood firing stove that froze in the morning, and you know, you had to, but they traveled, Susan traveled with them. And they talked about, there was a famous trip where the Gates and Warren Buffett traveled around the country on a train. And Susan was one of their bridge partners in that game. And the level of in society that she rose is reflected in all of her accomplishments. I mean, and you have before her, you stories about her life. What this bill simply does is honor her by making the first Tuesday of March, or the first Saturday of March, the traditional day, the start of the Iditarod, naming it after her. And then we can take off from there and talk about hope that schools and civic organizations honor her, and there can be lessons learned on the life and her accomplishments and her ability to get things done and do the things she did. And one of them was, for me, is the fantastic event of taking a dog team up to the top of Mount McKinley. Now, I was a dog musher. I stopped mushing dogs about the time she started, and I'm just absolutely amazed at the accomplishment of her and a lot of other mushers, what they can do with the dogs. I know the Iditarod is planning a lot of events this year to commemorate her life, and I put this before you as just another way of the legislature recognizing her accomplishments and her ability to and persistence to do the things that she had done, has done.
I'd also like to comment just her fight, her final fight. And it's a victory in a sense, the way she, just the total dignity that she had at the conclusion of her life, something just remarkable. Maybe as remarkable as some of the races that she won. Any comments from the committee? If not, I'll Representative Coggio.
First of all, I appreciate you bringing the bill forward. From the interior, she became quite an icon. During her life, and certainly the struggle that she had at the end of her life showed kind of the noble character that she really was. And so not only those who honored her, but I think those of us who watched her were greatly encouraged. So I appreciate you bringing the bill forward. And
I'll entertain a motion when you're...
And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make the motion to move House Bill 37 from committee. With individual recommendations, and there is no fiscal note.
May I make an amendment on that?
Representative Grunberg.
I move that we move it with a unanimous to pass.
Any objection? Without objection? Thank you very much for bringing this. We really do appreciate it. Because the Department of Public Safety and Military and Veterans Affairs are not with us today because of weather, this will conclude the State Affairs Committee meeting. Anything else to come? Representative Coggill, do you have some sense of timing on the subcommittee you'll be working on?
Some sense, yes, Mr. Chairman. What we'll do is I spent the weekend studying the several bills and headed for having a subcommittee later in this week so that we could sit down and look at some of the matrix that I've put together on the various different bills. So at this point, just the timing of getting together with some of the legislative staff members who've done some previous work is something that I'm working on. And so I just ask for a little flexibility, but if I can head towards the end of the week, I will have, try to pull a subcommittee meeting together. But we'll notice that on Thursday if we do it on Friday. That's about the soonest I think I can do it.
Yeah, fine. Any other comments? If not, I'll adjourn the public.